Blog Talk Radio.
TJB Radio.
That worked well. Let's try it again. Okay, that didn't work. Welcome to the show. It's the Jeff Bushman Experience. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is March the 1, 2015, the head of the month in which spring will begin. And I know that's a big thrill to all of our listeners in the eastern part of the United States. We are not in the eastern part of the United States. We had a high temperature today, I think it was supposed to be 73 degrees. I think that's right. If not, it was very close, although rain has threatened all day. Welcome to the program. We're going to talk about a number of things. Mostly, we're going to be talking about why more people should write and how to write for money. We're also going to talk before that about the Israeli elections, and in terms of the writing subject matter, that will probably be a two-parter. We'll probably cover that today and next week, so you'll be able to listen to both podcasts together if you'd like, after the second show is done, of course, but you can listen clearly to either of them at any time. Also, a little commercial word, if you are contemplating purchasing anything on Amazon.com, and who isn't, you would help us if you would go through our site to Amazon. It won't cost you any extra, but it could benefit us should you end up buying something. And I don't know a lot of people who shop at Amazon very often who end up not buying something, but I'm sure that it probably does happen. But that said, again, if you buy something, it will help us. The site of ours to go through is Bushman, B-U-S-H-M-A-N, Books, spelled the obvious way, .blogspot.com. Again, bushmanbooks.blogspot.com, and go to Amazon through the banner at the top of the page. Okay, that's that. And the reason it's called Bushman Books is because it deals with, among other things, the writing we have done that appears on Amazon.com's Kindle site as ebooks, which is going to be the subject of much of our program. But first, I'd like to tell you, in the event you don't know, that perhaps inappropriately, the elections for the Israeli parliament, called there the Knesset, and by the way, here's a trivia question for you. What is the parliament of Japan called? Japan also has a parliamentary system, and their parliament is not called the parliament. It's called something else, and because, of course, it's not English, but I'll tell you what that's called in a minute, but no looking it up on Google. You have to try to guess if you can remember the Japanese parliament. But the Israeli parliament is called Knesset, and like most parliamentary systems, and I realize that for many of our listeners in Europe and other places where they have parliaments, this is kind of obvious and redundant. I'm also afraid that if I get something wrong, our European listeners are going to put their heads in their hands saying, what an idiot. But in America, of course, we don't know about parliamentary systems, so anyone who knows anything at all is ahead of the game. All right. In a parliamentary system, people vote like we do here for members of Congress, although hopefully more intelligently. And when when one party gains more seats than anyone else, ideally a majority but not necessarily, when one party gains more seats in parliament than any other party, they have the right to try to form a government, which means they're in control. And that party also normally elects a prime minister. In Israel, it works a little differently, if my understanding is correct, in that the prime minister is also elected. There is some component of a direct election, which is something they changed a few years ago. It used to be just like other parliaments. So the current prime minister is Benjamin Netanyahu. The biggest test you can take in pronunciation and professional radio pronouncer is to be able to pronounce his last name. It's Netanyahu. In any event, when the last election took place, his party, called the Likud bloc, had more seats than anyone else, but they did not have a majority. In order to elect the prime minister and govern, you need, quote, working majority, end quote. And what that means is that if you don't have a majority by your own party's seats, you have to form a coalition with other parties where they agree to not necessarily vote with you all the time, but they agree to elect your candidate for prime minister by their votes. This is similar to how a Speaker of the House of Representatives is elected in the United States. The Speaker is chosen by the party that has the majority. Here we have a two-party system, so it's not a question of building coalitions in the normal sense. So that's what happens. So you build a coalition, and the largest party and the other parties that have joined in the coalition pick the prime minister. Okay. So Netanyahu is the prime minister of Israel because his party and the other parties that joined with them in a coalition elected him. By the way, as a side note, those parties that vote with the largest seat party to form the coalition don't necessarily agree on everything. And in fact, they don't agree on everything. That's why they have their own parties. But in most cases, they agree on most things. And then the other thing that happens is that in order for them to join the coalition, they usually require something back. This is perfectly legitimate. It's not underground or hidden. They get something back. The kind of thing they get is they get a certain number of portfolios, if you will. They get certain appointments to the governing cabinet. So, for example, let's take Israel. If you have the prime minister being from Likud bloc and they need a far-right religious party to join the coalition to elect the prime minister, then Likud will give them, for example, a certain they'll give them an agreement to fund the religious schools, or they will give them the right to a cabinet position, for example, minister of the interior, something like that. Okay. Well, however inappropriate you may think it, the election for the next Israeli cabinet and government is on St. Patrick's Day, which they tend not to observe in Israel anyway, or Ireland for that matter. But it is St. Patrick's Day, and that's when the election is, March 17th, for those of you who are keeping track. By the way, the name of the Japanese parliament is the Diet. As an additional sidelight, the name of the Russian parliament, wait for it, is the Duma. Okay. Election is on March 17th. What I think is going to happen is that the Likud party is going to get the largest number of seats, again, Likud bloc, and Netanyahu will remain as prime minister, but I think they'll have altogether fewer seats than they've gotten this last time. His power, therefore, will be somewhat diminished, which is fortunate in my view. And part of the reason for that diminished power and fewer seats, assuming I'm right, is because there's been a fair amount of backlash, even in Israel, against Netanyahu for the trip he's taking to the United States, where it's seen as an affront to the American president, President Obama. Okay, all of that said, let's talk about what I assume if anyone's here other than to just listen to the show generally is here for, which is what we advertise, which is the writing show. Okay. We're going to talk about how to write for money. It was Boswell or Johnson. I can never remember which one was written about. I think it was Boswell who wrote about Johnson. But and if so, it was Johnson who was a pre-revolutionary character individual in the United States, before it was the United States, and he was seen as something of a wit. He was also a writer himself. He said, anyone who writes other than for money is a fool. While I'm not sure that's true, if you're going to write, you may as well try to get it published, unless you're writing just for yourself and to journal. And today, the good news is, although publishers are dying off, and there still are some publishers, and even though it's hard to get published by a commercial publisher, publishing and selling your writing is easier than ever. It really is. This is proven by the fact that there are a lot of people who have written stuff that's lousy that still sells. But we're gonna talk today about how to choose what to write, how to go about process, and we'll talk about how to make money from it either towards the end of this show or during next week's show. But I want to talk about first getting ideas and the practice and process of writing. A lot of people say, I really like writing, but I don't know what to write about. There are also people who, by the way, say, I'm going to write a great book. I just don't know what to write about. Or they'll say, I'm going to write a great book. I just never have time to write. So we're going to cover all of those things. First, let me tell you something about my credentials. I'm holding them up to the telephone now so you can read them. I have written now four books, three of which are available. One we're still going to eventually get to work on editing and formatting. And there are different types of books. By the way, you can get to all of those through the previously mentioned website, bushmanbooks.blogspot.com. Granted, if you're 7 years old, you don't have a lot to write about because you don't have a lot of life experience. Although, if you're like many people who have written actual bestsellers at a later time in their life, if you're 7 years old, you may already be writing and writing short stories and made-up stuff, which is okay. It's the writing you'll do may sound silly to you when you look back at it 10 years from now, but it is practice in putting words together. The other side of this about the idea about more people should write who haven't been writing is, to be honest, there are a lot of people who shouldn't be writing who have written. There is one individual I know who shall remain nameless who, because he's interested in a certain form of music, thinks that whatever he says about it is going to be interesting to other people. It's not true, and he hasn't published anything, but he's planning on it, boy. And I've read some of his writing, and it's not that the writing is inherently awful. It's just that it's not saying anything new about that form of music. Anyway, the line I used to say is that now everyone who can type thinks he can write, which is an overstatement. But the truth is many more people can write than have done so in terms of attempting to do it professionally. There are a couple of people I know of who write very well. I've seen their writing on Facebook, for example, and they could easily write professionally if there's something they wanted to write about, but they don't do that because they're doing other things in their lives. But certainly that's something that I would suggest would be part of, it would be a good idea to make that part of their lives. Okay, enough about that. Let's talk about getting ideas first, okay? The first thing you should look at is, of course, do I want to write fiction or nonfiction? Do I want to make stuff up, or do I want to write about something that is real, if you will? I'm not saying fiction isn't real. Fiction, characters, dialogue, plot. I've written fiction and I've written nonfiction. And fiction is certainly a real thing, but it's not about something that necessarily actually happened, unless you fictionalize something that actually did occur. But one of the things that may help you determine what you want to write about is what interests you and what interests your friends and acquaintances when you talk about it with them, okay? With people that I know, a lot of that is politics, but and I haven't written anything on politics, but the point I'm making is that what interests you is what's going to be easiest for you to write about, assuming you know something about it beyond I'm a Democrat or I'm a Republican. If you have what you think might be some insights, then what interests you, as said, and interests your friends, is something you can write about, even if you have to do research on a subject. One of the things I'm interested in, and I give this freely, even though one of you may then decide to write the book that I haven't written yet, one of the things I'm interested in is how the need for energy has corrupted our political life. And I won't go into detail about that now, but you can understand you're talking about industries like coal and oil and electric utilities and how in the history of this country that has corrupted much of our politics and continues to do so. Just as one quick illustration, the entity that is funding much of Scott Walker's presidential campaign is the Koch brothers, who have made their money in oil, essentially, other things too, but a lot of energy elements. That's just one example, and I'm not saying everybody who funds a Republican is corrupt. Okay, maybe, but that's not really the point. And that's a joke, obviously. By the way, I have something exciting to tell you as a sidelight. At the end of the show, we're going to play a new closing theme. So if you're at all interested in great music or the music we're going to use, stay tuned. Anyway, so one is, of course, as I said, what you're interested in. If you don't know what to write about or you feel blocked, you can't make up your mind, okay, then I have a couple of suggestions for you, okay? And at least one of these suggestions is going to sound weird, and I'm well aware of that. But let's talk about all three of them. One of the things, at the risk of being obvious, is look around you, okay? Either in your home or outside your home, preferably outside, because I think it lends more to creativity, because you've seen the stuff around your house for a long time, presumably. But go outside or take a ride. Okay, for those of you who are in the Northeast, you may want to wait until the thaw. But for the rest of you, go out, look around, see what's there. I mean, you might find it interesting to write about weather conditions. That wouldn't fascinate me, but some people would be interested in it. Again, once things are back to normal, what the nature of zoning is, if you find that interesting, or you know, who knows what. But if you look around, drive up and down the streets of your community, or drive in an area you've never driven in before, you'll get an idea. If you live in a community which has people from different cultures, in which many languages are spoken, you might find it interesting to talk to a person who makes signs in different languages. Some of the things you can write are really magazine articles rather than books. But those are, well, again, whatever it is that will ring your chimes, will ring the chimes of other people. You're not alone. So look around you. That's one way. Just a lot of things are just common and all about you. Another thing you can look at to determine what's interesting to other people, and again, which may strike your interest, is look at an area in which, look in a place, I should say, where lots of things are written by other people. Again, clearly, it at least interested them and might be interesting to the people that are reading what they've written. The thing I would recommend is a website called Medium.com. Not hot, not cold. Medium. Medium.com. And anyone can write on Medium.com. The reason I have not suggested you write for Medium.com is because I'm trying to get you to write with the hopes of making money at it. And Medium is something you write on for free. Now, there are lots of professional writers, this one included, who have written things on Medium. But in my case, it's just short pieces, and most of everything there is a short piece. But it's the kind of thing that may tell you what is interesting to other people. But and that will give you an idea. I shouldn't say but. That will give you an idea of some things you can write. So take a look at Medium.com, see what people are writing about and commenting about, and it may additionally give you some ideas on a subject you may want to write on, something you know or can find out about. Okay? I'll also talk, after I tell you these other two areas, things which I have had published, not solely for my ego, but to give you an idea that you can write for money, even if there's nothing you specifically have knowledge about, believe it or not. Come back to that in a minute. So one is look around where you are. The other one, as I said, look at something that has other writing on it. You're not going to write or steal what somebody else has written, obviously, but it will spark ideas. The third one is the weird one, okay? We don't have too many of these anymore, but in most communities you can find it, if nowhere else, than in a library, okay? But when you get this delivered to your home, we all have a tendency to put it in the recycling can. But it still has some use, not just for killing bugs. I'm referring to the Yellow Pages. The Yellow Pages is a treasure trove of ideas. If you open the Yellow Pages, and I probably have one sitting here somewhere. Well, I don't, actually. But if you have a Yellow Pages in your home, again, or your library, if you open it up and start flipping through, just thinking about, gee, I wonder who would use this kind of professional, or I wonder what it's like to be a bail bondsman, or, you know, or a, I can tell you what it's like to be a process server, but open the Yellow Pages, you're going to see all kinds of listings for people who do different kinds of work, and I've just been handed a Yellow Pages by my faithful assistant. Thank you. And just opening up, the first thing I opened up, this may not be a good sign, was to funeral directors or funeral parlors. But again, what's it like to be in that kind of business? That might be an interesting magazine article. And we'll talk about magazine articles in terms of getting published in specific magazines next week. But also, you can write something that, instead of a full ebook, you can write something called a short for Amazon Kindle that will sell. And those are not full books, but they're more like articles. And there are lots of professional writers who do those. And you might find that's what you want to write, at least part of the time. And again, just flipping through here, dental hygienist. Again, that's, I'm sure, fascinating to somebody. I just opened it again, and I've opened it to martial arts. Okay, all of these, now you may not want to write about a martial arts instructor or student, but you may want to write a mystery novel in which martial arts are involved. Okay, you get the idea. The Yellow Pages is a treasure trove of ideas. And if you have palmetto bugs or roaches or scorpions in your home, it's a very useful tool for that as well. Okay, so Yellow Pages. And I'm serious, by the way, about that. Yellow Pages are also good for many other things in terms of jobs and businesses that you maybe want to become involved in. But just back in terms of writing, it is a real trove of inspirational ideas. That is, ideas to get you inspired and get you writing. I mentioned about the three books that I have up on Amazon Kindle as ebooks. Just to give you an idea of the diversity of things you can write about, I mentioned this now. One is a collection of my columns that have appeared in a magazine here in Arizona, which is called Scottsdale Health Magazine. And I am the sex columnist for that August publication. And one of the books called Amusing Sex, Funny Sex is a collection of those columns. Another one of the books is a book on mobile home investment called The Mobile Millionaire. And the third book is a mystery novel called Bobby Has Been Shot. The only reason, besides trying to hustle my books, that I'm mentioning that is that is to demonstrate that you can write on a variety of subjects. First off, you can write one or two or three books on one subject, of course, or you can write shorts or full books on virtually anything. And I will tell you, and we'll talk about this more when we talk about money making, that my books sell. No one's going to mistake me for Stephen King for a lot of reasons, among which he's substantially taller. But beyond that, no one's going to mistake me in terms of the amount of sales I have. But I have, through electronic books, approximately the same kind of sales that an average book gets in a regular bookstore, which is about three a decade. No, I'm kidding. But just to give you an idea, again, you can be diverse and you can sell. Okay, that's basically what that's all about. Let me talk about the process of writing. By the way, we have about 8 minutes left, just shy of 8 minutes. And although it's unlikely we'll get a call during this program because of the nature of the program and the reality that not that many people listen live, though many people, thank you, listen to the podcast version. If you do want to call in, if you have a question, the phone number here is 347-850-8702. And if you do want to call in, we'll take you pretty quickly. 347, unless you're the third caller, in which case you may have to wait. 347-850-8702. That is our guest number each week, should you wish to call in. So again, if you don't have time, do it now, or you're listening in podcast version now, you can join us next Sunday, 6:30 Eastern, and call the show at that time, and we'll be happy to take those questions then. In terms of whether you should write fiction or nonfiction, it really, this in process in a minute, it really doesn't matter. It matters to you, but it used to be that certain things sold and certain things didn't. I would suggest respectfully about the only thing that I can think of other than bad writing, even that's not guaranteed to not sell, but the only kind of writing I can think of that tends to sell less well than other kinds as a genre is poetry. If you want to write poetry, of course, you're certainly able to do that, and under the right circumstances, you will sell some of your poetry. But the reality is that that's always, not always, but for as long as I can remember, and I'm old, it's been a tough market to break into in terms of selling poetry. Not that it's not worthy, not that it's not lovely and does wonderful things for one's soul, but it may not sell well. Okay, so be aware of that. But when it comes to fiction or nonfiction, and now we are getting into, you know, the marketing issue, but virtually everything can sell. And we'll talk about how to do that later. But whatever you want to do, if you want to write short stories, a collection of short stories, you want to write a novel, or you want to write a collection of related short stories that have a kind of a novelistic bent, that sells well too. One of the weird things that I should tell you is for a long time, mystery novels did not sell well. And now they're a big deal. So everything is changeable. And one of the things we'll talk about next week is what a phrase Chris Anderson, formerly of Wired Magazine, invented, which is called the long tail. and we'll talk about that next week, because it really is a marketing concept rather than a writing concept. So the process of writing. Once you decide what you want to write, at the risk of saying the obvious, it's important that you actually write. The first recommendation I would make, and not everybody agrees with this, but the first recommendation I would make is, if you're going to write, write. Don't talk about it. Put your butt on the chair, sidle up to your laptop or your desktop machine, and write. Now, in terms of the process of writing, the ideal is to write every day. I don't know about you, but that's not realistic for me. But if you can write every day, give it 10 minutes. You know what? 10 minutes. Let's assume in 10 minutes you can write 2 pages, okay? That may be a little bit optimistic. But if you can write 2 pages, 10 minutes a day, let's assume you've got a 300-page novel in you. If you write 2 pages a day, that's 5 months, okay? And most novelists don't finish in 5 months. Then you get to do the wonderful job of editing your own writing. Or if you'll do what I do is have your in-house critic, not critic, your in-house editor take a look at your writing. But whatever it is, go ahead and get it done. Let's assume further, by the way, that you have a 300-page novel in you and you only write 1 page a day. Okay, 300 days, that's less than a year. I know that you didn't know that until I happened to mention it, but that's still, you can get a novel done in a year. Just write every day. And again, it doesn't have to be very long, but try to set some time aside to write every day. If you can't do that, every other day, but at least, you know, a few times a week, sit down and do some writing. If you have to wait for the rest of the family to go to sleep, you have to do it in the morning before everybody gets up, fine. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, not that big a deal. You know, do it while the coffee's brewing, if you can function without coffee, whatever it is. Okay? All right. The other thing is the question of outlining. My own opinion is that outlining is extremely valuable, even in fiction. Most fiction writers do not outline, so they would disagree with me. But if you can outline chapter by chapter where you're going and what you want to do in each chapter, you'll change your mind, by the way. Outlines are not straitjackets. They're guidelines. You may slip another chapter that you hadn't thought about before when you're outlining. But if you have an idea, if you're talking about writing fiction, if you're talking about writing a novel in particular, you should have an idea of what the beginning is going to be. That's easy. You should have an idea of what's at the end. That's a little harder. And then an idea about what's in the middle. That's the hardest part. If you outline it, that's going to be very useful for you because, among other things, when you sit down to write, you can look at your outline and know what it is you need to write next. I'll give you one other clue on writing. The writing process itself. When you stop, by the way, we've got about 2 minutes left, so I'll be breaking off in a minute. We'll pick this up next week. I didn't come up with this idea. I've stolen it, but I found it very useful. When you're writing on a particular day, stop writing in the middle of the sentence. Okay? Hopefully you'll know what the end of the sentence is going to be, but stop writing in the middle of the sentence. The reason for that is the next day, when you sit down to write, it's easier to pick up in the middle of the sentence and then continue than it is to have finished a sentence, a paragraph, or a chapter and have to start fresh. That's hard or harder. And so if you can stop in the middle of a sentence or at least in the middle of a chapter or a paragraph so you have an idea of where to start and what to do next, you'll be much better off. Okay? All right. We have a minute left, so I'm going to wish you a fond adieu. And as you can tell, I don't speak French. Hope you have a good evening. Don't go away mad, though you are going away. Please be kind to each other and join us next week, which will be March 8th, unless you listen to a podcast, in which case it can be any time after that. And now here is our closing theme, Tchaikovsky's Concerto No. 1 for piano and kazoo. Oh, good night, everybody.